Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Very, very grateful to be here. Normally we come in the fall or sometime late summer, but it worked out where we could come early because I need you this year a little bit earlier. I was telling them back in the prayer room, we find about 100 kids a week. Now, I could find more. I just have to tone it down. I have more cars going out than I have coming in, so coming here this year early is going to be a blessing. How many of you don't have a clue who I am? Okay, got two people. But anyway, we started ministering about 35 years ago. I showed up for my first mission trip to Hollywood, and I won't bore you with that part, but we saw these kids eating out of trash cans, and we said, hey, we can do something. And that's where we came up, and this is not my idea. I'm not that smart. And said, give these kids a meal. It's a life insurance, if you will. So when you approach some of these people, if you don't have something in your hand, they may actually turn on and take something from you. But anyway, we've been doing this for about 35 years. And I said earlier, I had hair like Elvis when I started. But anyway, this morning when you go out, you'll have an opportunity to pick up an encouragement card. Write a sweet note of love. Something very basic. This is something just generic. Hi, my name is Joe. I want to personally encourage you in your heart toward Jesus Christ. Never, ever give up and lose heart. You're so valued in Christ. Maybe a favorite scripture. And then you seal it up, put it in an envelope, seal it up. And we take these cards, they'll return back to us. And then we become your spiritual postman. We get to take your notes of love. I have no clue what's in it. And when I get the joy and the privilege to see when these people open these cards up, they will say, well, who is Jim? Who is Bob? Who is Leslie? I said, well, this is just someone who loves Jesus Christ. And they're inviting you to the table while they're at their table. And so I'm the liaison, if you will. So last year, you guys did about 419. And I think that's the scripture, I shall meet all your needs, Philippians 4:19. I called Jeff right away. I said, man, 419 is perfect. But anyway, the 26th of May. If you have those back, that gives you 3 weeks to write a note, go by McDonald's or Burger King, whatever, and put that card in there. And then we'll get them by the 1st of June. And then we'll, again, pass these out. Now, listen, I want to encourage you. If you got 3 grandkids, write one for every one of your grandkids. If you got 5 kids, do it in honor of someone else's kids. And that would be a great tool to sow a seed into your own family. And you know what? And I even go one step further. If you, maybe you want to fast a meal, go to McDonald's and sit down and get the card. And you know what? Skip a meal. And while you're at lunchtime, write these notes. And then you get a little bit of a sense of the hunger that some of these kids go through. So anyway, thank you guys so much. And I look forward to you guys picking up some cards on the way out. So anyway, got a short video just to be a reminder of what you guys participate in year after year.
I lose my way, and I forget my name. Remind me who I am. In the mirror, all I see is who I don't wanna be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is.
When I was 14, my mom passed away of alcoholism, and my dad, I have no idea where he's at. So ever since I was 14, I've been taking care of myself.
I've been disowned by both my parents. My dad when I was 17, my mom just last January. She could care less if I'm on the ground, in the street, you know, dead. She wouldn't even care. She wouldn't even turn around and look back.
Even as of last week and last month, I'm still seeing some of the same situations. And that's why it's important for us to be the church of Jesus Christ, not just in here. But you know what? These are people that I pastor. These people are people that I reach out to. And it gives me a window to speak life into their soul. And you know what? And to see them respond to Christ. And, you know, I'm telling you, it's powerful. But there's a story I want to remind you of very quickly. And it's in the New Testament. It's about the man who found out that Jesus was teaching. And he encouraged four of his friends to go help him get to where Jesus, because he knew if he could just get to the house of God, he would be healed. How many of you know that story? If you've been saved 2 weeks, you heard that story already. But it's important because there's something in this story. This man could not get to where he needed to get until somebody helped him get there. Now, can you imagine the place being packed like it is this morning? And all of a sudden, Jesus is teaching. And they had brought this guy, and they saw he couldn't get in. They said, well, can't get in. And what do you think that probably was potentially said? Well, we got to take him back. Now, folks, I'm sure it was a job taking this guy to the place. They don't want to take him back. And sometimes this is how my mind works. Can you imagine what was not said? I can't let him go back. What do you mean you can't let him go back? We got to get him in somehow. What do you mean? What are we going to do? I don't know. Let's cut a hole in the roof. What do you mean cut a hole in the roof? We can't do that. That's somebody's property. Oh, no. We're going to do something. See, there comes a determination of the church of Jesus Christ. You're not going to let your friends perish. You're not going to let those around you perish because you have a solution. And sometimes that solution will cost you something. I can imagine he probably said, well, let's cut a hole. Okay, who's going to pay for that? Well, he probably said, well, I got a little money saved up. I've oversaved for a rainy day. Maybe another one said, I got four goats I can sell. Maybe one said, I got a little parcel of land I can sell. Bottom line, he said, okay, guys, I think we got enough money we can pay for this roof. This Lord, let's go out and start cutting. Now, listen, folks, this morning, right now, this thing, we're talking, and if you heard that roof start crackling, you're going to quit listening to me. Right? I think you would. You're going to say, what's coming? What's happening? I'm sure all the attention went up. And then Jesus said something when it looked like he said his bed had come down. It probably looked like some of those helicopter rescue. You see that little bed just swaying? He probably came down crooked and they laid him down. And Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. There was no sermon. It was the faith of the believers of Jesus Christ that activated something, and the Spirit of God moved, and he was healed, just like we were praying for all these people just a few minutes ago. It's the faith of the believer that these things can take place. You have to believe, but here's the story. It costs you something. It costs you something. It costs me something. I don't just wake up feeling groovy and gravy and loving and charming every day. I need coffee. I just don't wake up and say, yes, Lord, let's take them for Jesus. I was like, Lord, I quit. And after coffee, I hire myself back. I'm telling you, we all have to be stirred to faith. But see, when you go to that place of prayer, you start to remember where you were. And then when you remember where you were, it gives you motivation. It gives you a little oomph in your step. And yes, it's going to cost me something. But yeah, little by little, I show up. I get cussed out, swung at, spit out, and everything else. Does your parishioners do that to you? No, just kidding. I'm telling you. But you know what? Then the one responds. One responds. And that's what it takes. We don't know which one's going to respond. See, we just keep showing up. He got his miracle. Because the church was in action. The church won't sit and steal. They just sit and say, man, that was good. Can't wait till next Sunday. Woo, wonder what the next Sunday's going to bring. That was not the mindset. About 4 weeks ago, I was riding in Phoenix, there's a lot of canals. And I couldn't get to these kids. I knew they were under these bridges, canals. And I went, got me another bicycle. See, I'm on car, I'm on foot, I'm on bicycle. And I was going through these tunnels. And I met Fabian. Now, yes, it's dark down there. And I said, hey, you're okay? And I could tell he was in a bad way. He was in a bad way. And I said, what's your name? He said, Fabian. I said, Fabian, this is not your destiny. And man, he froze. He said, what do you mean this is not my destiny? I said, you weren't born for this. He said, why are you talking to me like this? I said, you were not born for this. And we talked about 10 minutes, and I gave him the card. I said, can we pray, Fabian? He said, I would love that. He said, my daughter, she's been diagnosed with cancer. He said, me and my wife have blown it. He said, we went off the deep end on drugs. He said, we've homeless. Now, this was 4 weeks ago. And I prayed with him. And I came back by, and sure enough, Fabian was out. I'm sure he took something just to numb his pain. I said, Lord, I just kept praying. I'm on that bicycle. I was praying, Lord, you're going to do something in his life. And I just got home, and I kept praying for Fabian. Well, about a week later, I was about 4 miles away, and I was behind this building, and there he was again. He said, babe, come here. There's that preacher. There's that preacher. I said, my name's Joe, Jim. I mean, and he said, hey, come here. I want you to meet my wife. And we talked, and we prayed for the little girl to be healed. She's 7. She's been diagnosed with cancer. And we pray. About another week later, it passed. They were out sitting actually in front of a McDonald's about a mile away. And we prayed together right in front of McDonald's at the bus stop. And man, I couldn't tell anything was happening. But then another week passed. And I was into that same tunnel close to it, but there's a part now, they're in the part. And I saw Fabian and Edith, his wife. And the first thing out of my mouth said, man, what happened? He said, what, you can tell? I said, your whole countenance has changed. He said, we rededicated our life to Jesus Saturday night. I said, you did? Where at? I was like, why didn't you let me pray with you? No, I didn't say that. He said, no, we went to a street church. Somebody had set up outdoor church. He said, and we prayed and we rededicated our lives. And we said, God, we need jobs and we need a bicycle to get there. They went a few days later and both of them got a job. And then some church came through on Sunday and said, hey, we got one bicycle, but there's 7 of you here. So y'all put a number in the hat, and whoever gets it, well, they want a bicycle. Well, my neighbor had told me 2 days prior, he said, Joe, I just bought a new bike, but if you know any kid that needs a bike, call me. He said, we prayed for 2 bikes. I said, Tom, you still want to get rid of that bike? He said, yeah. I said, I'll be there in 5 minutes. Come go with me. We went and unloaded that thing, and they took off on those bicycles. You ought to have heard the shouting. They were just like they were swinging their hands and praising God. And then all it took was 4 weeks for God to do a work. I don't know who's responding to the gospel. I just have to show up with the gospel. It's my responsibility to present Christ. I don't reveal Christ. I'm telling you, there's names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We just have to believe. Everybody don't get it, though. Sometimes we miss the moment. That was a moment. I had a guy, my neighbor, he walks through where I live. He said, I see your little car reaching runaways. He said, tell me about it. I said, now can't even get the Reader Digest version. Yeah, I've been doing this. He said, oh, man. He said, that's awesome. He said, I refuse to step into a church. I said, wow. And I let him finish. I didn't cut him off right away. And he said, I will never, ever go to a church. I finally said, Bob, can I ask you why? He said, when I was 6 years old, he's 78 years old. He said, I've not been in church since I was 72. I said, Bob, what happened at 6 years old that you would say, I'm never, ever going back to church? He said, our church had a carnival for missions. My mom gave me $3 to go to a carnival 72 years ago. That'd be like giving you a $100 bill today. And he said, I went to that carnival. He said, but I didn't want to play games. He said, I wanted to buy my mom something. So he goes to the table where they're selling crafts and stuff. And he found something he wanted to buy for his mother. And he told the pastor, and the pastor was manning the table. He said, Pastor, I want that for my mom. He said, and he reached in his pocket and he threw $3 on the table. And the pastor said, Bob, that ain't enough. It's 5. He said, I want this for my mom, and $3 is all I have. He said, Bob, I told you it's $5. If you don't have $5, you can't get it. And he said, at 6 years old, he said, and now his lips quivering, he's crying at 78 on my patio. He said, Joe, I looked at that pastor. He said, isn't the church supposed to give? He missed a moment with a six-year-old little boy because he wouldn't come off 2 bucks for missions. Missions is always right in front of you at the moment. You don't abandon this to go to this. And he missed that moment. So now he won't go to church. Anybody ever heard of Nevada Bob Golf Stores? He founded that all over the country. He could have funded missions worldwide his entire life. Instead, he's bitter at the Church of Jesus Christ. See, let's don't miss a moment. We don't know who's going to respond to the gospel. Just show up. And you know what? In doing so, people do come. People come to faith. Listen, I had a story. I don't have to go deep for stories. I get stories all the time. But Christmas Eve, it was cold. Even in Phoenix, it was cold. and I was in the car, and I went to a place where I knew I could find some kids, and I found this little kid. His name was John. He was about 20 years old, but man, I'm telling you, I was cold in the car. He had a pair of shorts on and just a white T-shirt that was just scruffy, but he was the nicest kid. I kept saying, John, and I was speaking to him and encouraging him and say, listen, I don't ask him how they got there. It doesn't matter how they got there. I'm trying to get him out of there. And I was just, and I said, John, can I pray with you? He said, I would love that. So this kid is so nice. He kept saying, yes, sir. No, sir. He had his hands in front of him. And for some reason, I could feel there was something going on spiritually. I can't put my finger on it. I'm not that smart again. And I said, and I prayed. I said, John, this is not you. And this is not your destiny. You're going to make it. He said, you know what? You make me believe I can make it. I said, you know what? I will check on you in a couple of days. He said, I would like that. Well, I go to the post office a few days later, and just a church, a ladies group in this town had sent me a $400 gift card to buy kids some clothes with. I said, man, I was so excited. I'm going back, and I'm going to find John, because all these guys have a pair of shorts and a ragged T-shirt. And I go back, and I'm looking for John. I couldn't find him. I said, well, I'll come back a few days later, and I couldn't find him again. I went looking for him for three different times. I said, man, I know he can't be gone far. And then I went back that third, fourth time, and I saw some other kids. I said, listen, John, y'all remember John? I said, yeah, we know John. I said, where's he? He said, we died Christmas Day. I said, you're kidding me. Fentanyl overdose. I said, you're kidding me. He died. Was the card still beside him when the coroner picked him up? Did he ever redeem the card? I don't know. And I cried. And that's one of those moments I had to drive myself home. I couldn't work. And you know, I have moments like that. Maybe the coroner picked me up and said, man, he prayed. Maybe he prayed. See, I'm symbolically, not like Jesus, symbolically. People say, where do you take these kids to? How do you disciple them? If the Holy Spirit don't do a work right then, I ain't got much chance. Because these kids are transient. You know what I'm saying? They're on the move. And it takes that moment of revelation of God touching them right then and right there. And all I could think about is when he prayed Christmas Eve, yes, sir. No, sir. And he thanked me for praying for him. See, this is us showing up in the darkest places and discipling these kids. A lot of them are just days and weeks from death. How did I get here? I have no idea, but I do have somewhat of an idea. When I did my first mission trip back in 89, I believe it was, we were kicking off, and they said, hey, we're going to a happening church. Jack Hayford. Anybody ever heard of him? Older people would remember Jack Hayford, great Bible teacher. They said, we're going to his church. And I was excited. I had watched this guy teach the Word of God, and I wanted to be part of that. So this guy pulls up, a leader at that time, and he says, hey, plans have changed. We're going to another happening church. I said, well, heck, let's go. And he said, no, we're going to the Michael Jackson Auditorium on Sunset Boulevard. Okay, Sunset Boulevard. Michael Jackson's name on it has got to be big. We pulled up. There was not one car there. I said, okay, we're early. No, we were on time. There was nobody in the auditorium. We took us into the back to a small room about the size of that nursery with about 50 chairs set out. The pastor greeted me with my first holy kiss and said, sit right here and stamp these tracks. Tracks of groups of 50, and I need 50 stacks. He put me to work right to start with. I did all that and helped assemble some bag lunches, and all of a sudden, here comes kids coming in. About 40 or 50 kids that works the streets of Hollywood. And the pastor was a one-man show. He did the singing. He did the projector slides. He did everything. But then he did something toward the end, instead of him preaching the gospel, he opened it up to the floor. He said, anybody got something they want to say? And little by little, these kids started standing up. The girl in front of me stood up first. Her dress was so short, I had to turn my head down because she'd been out working. And she began to weep and cry. She said, I'm so sick of this lifestyle. I can't get out because if I get out, they'll kill me. And trust me, folks, they will kill you. And she said, and she just began to tell her story. And the pastor said, how did you find out about this place? He said, well, somebody handed me one of these tracks. Tell me if I could come here, I could get some food. And so I could, you know, get some loving and et cetera. And then one by one, these kids, I'm telling you, I don't know how many stood up, 20, 25. We heard testimonies the whole time. And then one kid finally burst out crying. He said, I missed it. I said, what? And the pastor said, what'd you miss? He said, I gave my life to Jesus some time ago, and He said, my brother, we're all into gangs. He said, my brother said, what is this Jesus stuff you're into? And he said, I never had the courage to tell him and explain the gospel to him. And then he was killed just a few weeks later in a gang shootout. He said, my brother died. He said, I had a chance to share the gospel. See, and all of a sudden, all this is happening. And now here's Joe. I'm going home. I don't like what I just saw. Don't like what I just felt. This is not good. There's a real mad world out there. And I said, and then I got home, and I kept hearing these stories, and I kept hearing these people giving their testimonies, and how they all, and that day they all took a pack of tracts, and they were going to go back and tell their friends and give a bag meal. But then when I got home, I said, Lord, please don't do this to me. I don't want to go to the mission field. Please don't do this to me. Pick somebody else. Come back when I'm 45. My house is paid for. Kids are out of college. Give me that window of grace. Guess what I kept hearing? Follow me. Lord, I'm following you. I wrote a check to that missionary. You know it had a big zero on it. Please, Lord, don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. So I think, I'm not for sure, that could have been the beginning of something. Because see, when you put yourself out there, you're picking up people. And all you're doing is just bringing them to the place where you're just laying down before Jesus. Yes. And if you say, Jesus, if you don't move, we're done here. We're done. Anybody ever remember I know y'all remember, most of you are older. Remember the 92 riots? Anybody? Come on, raise your hand. 92 riots? Okay, I was there. I was there in 1992, scared to death. Didn't know, again, this is 3 years later, I'm still scared. And they thought, okay, he's got a southern accent. Put him out there in the bad part of town. If he comes out, he comes out. If he don't, whatever. But anyway, I was on this Hollywood and Western, Sunset and Western. And this guy come up to me, he said, you need to move on, boy. I said, what? He said, yeah, what do you mean I got to move on? No, you need to move. This is my territory. This is my area. These are my people. This is our corner. And you need to move on. And I mean it. You need to move on. Ratty tap tap. You ain't got to tell me twice. I'm out of here. My kids are 2 and 4 at home. I'm going home. And the Holy Spirit said, don't move. What do you mean don't move? I'm going to run. This is my head. I'm running. He walks away. He come back. He said, you don't believe I'll do it. He said, you don't believe I'll make an example out of you to every preacher that ever tries to preach the gospel out here. This is your last time. You need to move on. Okay, Lord, did you hear that? I heard it. Now, did you hear it? He come back. He looked. He turned around and walked off. I don't think he saw me the third time. God has a way of blinding people. He must have thought I left. That kid beside me said, dude, did you know him? I said, I ain't never seen him. He said, dude, he was going to blow you away. Of course, I'm shaking and trembling at the moment. And I'm thinking, so when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, Daniel, did you not know those lions had sharp teeth? He's going to look back at me and say, did you not know those guns had real bullets in it? They will hurt you. You taking a card is my life insurance. So I'm a little bit selfish in my motive this morning. Yeah, I want to feed them. I want to be the giver. But it's also my life insurance policy. It wins me that window of opportunity to speak Christ into their life. And in doing so, giving them the chance to find the same Jesus that you and I know, to start living that godly life. You know what? These kids don't just get out of a gang. They're beaten out of a gang or killed out of a gang. You know what? And you hear these stories over and over and over. So now, 35 years later, I'm still hearing some of the same stories. Matter of fact, a few years ago, I don't know how much time I have, I was able to lead a guy to the Lord, and he said he got there in 1989. He was an older guy. And he said, and I think I've told this story before, but it was on the same corner in front of the same taco stand. And I led this guy to Jesus Christ. I thought, what if I'd have ran and left that day and said, I'm done. That could have been my bad experience like Bob. I'm never going on another mission trip. I'm never doing nothing else for Jesus. I'll sit in the pews and be at all the services and I'll lead the men's group. I'll do it all. Just don't send me out there. But they need us out there, because I'm telling you, this is the church I pastor. This is the church I pastor. They can't pay me. They don't have money. People are like, where do you preach at? I say, where I'm uninvited and they don't take offerings. You know what? Because those are the people like, why are you here? Little girl told me last week, she said, I said, hey, good morning. There was about four kids there. She said, oh my gosh. She said, you're the McDonald man, the preacher. She said, I'm the only kid in this valley that has not received a card from you. She said, every kid talks about you, how you come around and pray and encourage and make us believe that we can make it. Kid told me that Friday. He said, if it weren't for you, I don't know what we'd do. She said, you're the only one that makes us think we can make it. I said, you can make it. I said, you're the CEO of your own life. If you stay here, it's your choice. You got to get out. I'm your spiritual cheerleader, so get up and let's get on with this thing. You know, I'm speaking life into them because I want them to, again, to know the same cross. One more last story. I love this when this happens. This happened many times over the years, but I started going out on Sunday mornings before church. And I went behind this grocery store where I know kids sleep because I'm waiting for them to bring out and dump some food. And this one kid was asleep. It was a girl, and there was another kid. He was awake, and his head was down. And I said, good morning. And everybody, he didn't say anything. I said, good morning. So I'm getting a little closer. I said, good morning. I was so loud now, I woke her up. And she found out. She said, oh. She said, well, he's deaf. He can't hear at all. He was born deaf. And I said, oh, I know sign language. And I began to explain Christ with my hands. And he was so grateful. He said, man, I never had to go to school. He said, my parents were, you know, practically alcoholics. They never knew where I was at. He said, 13, I would go spend days and weeks with other kids. He said, I came home one day, and they were gone. I've not seen them since I was 13 years old. Can you imagine going home and your parents had already packed up and left? They left him. Folks, this didn't happen in the 60s. It happened in the 2000s. Listen, this still happens. I was able to pray with him. He said, listen, this is my lot in life. He did tell me that. He said, I'm deaf and I have no education. What am I supposed to do? He's eating out of a trash can behind a grocery store. So these cards are a great window of opportunity to see people come to faith. Who do you know this morning that needs to come to faith? I want to pray with you this morning. First, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. But who do you know that needs to come to faith? Because you don't have to be under a bridge to be heartbroken. You can be dressed up this morning. You have something going on in your own heart that's keeping you from being the best you can be and all you can be. But I want to encourage you, and I want to take time to pray. I don't know how we're going to pray, music, whatever, but I want to pray with you. I want you to know in your heart, whatever you're going through, that this is not your destiny. And you know what? God give us a fire and a joy and a peace. They say, you know what? I'm going to share Christ with somebody. And I'm always looking for a window of opportunity. I'm always looking for somebody that's down. Listen, I don't have to be looking for the person under the bridge. I'm looking for the gal at Walmart. Are you okay? Good morning. Good morning. They said, my little place, I get a little bowl of breakfast in the morning. I said, Joe, you're the happiest guy we know. Hey, look, they gave me my bowl the other day. They said, well, you just like hearing you talk. But anyway, the Southern accent is the anointing until the Holy Spirit kicks in. But anyway, and they love it. I go, now I know that. I say, hey, y'all. Hey, y'all. They said, Joe, we just love you so much. But you know what I'm doing? I'm speaking life into it. I'm creating the right atmosphere. See, don't walk in with your head down. Don't walk. Listen, I have a bad day, as bad as the next person, but you'll never know it. I'm not going to show it. I'm not going to advertise it. And I'm going to lift up Jesus as much as possible. And in doing so, you're creating something that the Spirit of God can move. Can I pray with you this morning? Can we all stand for just a moment? We all have different needs here. We're all different collectively, individually. We have different needs. One of the things I want to pray for is whatever your need is. You can just raise your hand. Whatever that need may be, just I want to agree with you. Oh, wow, several many hands. Yes, thank you. God, do a fresh work in us as believers. That, Father, we're not going to miss another moment to reflect Christ. We're not going to miss another moment to champion other people to faith. It's about names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life and to be part of that in some way. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Can you imagine getting to heaven? Somebody says, I'm here because of you. I don't know how this thing adds up in the spiritual realm. I don't. Maybe that's why it's eternity. We all just talk about it forever. I'm here because of you. But you know what? Some of us have got a wayward kid. You got a wayward marriage. There's missteps in the home. You know what? Forgive yourself. I can't tell you how many times I hear people say, Joe, will you pray to God for me? I say, why me? Why don't you pray? They say, God don't listen to people like me. I say, oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. And I will coach them to the place of prayer. He hears all of our prayers. But people say, well, I can't be forgiven. I said, well, the forgiveness is a done deal. You can't change that. You got to forgive yourself. There's nothing you have done that has separated you from the love of God. Come on, church. There's nothing, nothing. It might be humiliating to you, your family, but there's nothing that has separated you from the power and the redemption grace of Jesus Christ. And you can be set free this morning. You don't have to walk out here the same. You don't have to wait for another service. Today's a new day. Today I'm a new creature. Today I take my fresh marching orders to go forward. But the second part of that prayer is, don't miss that window. Don't have a situation. The mission field is not going to be beyond the person you're with at the moment. Don't have a Bob story in your life. Don't have that moment. Father, we agree for the power of the Holy Spirit. If there's someone here this morning who don't know you as their personal Savior, they don't have that peace and joy and promise. God, let this be a moment they step forward and pray and lay it at the altar of Jesus Christ and say, God, I need this renewal of faith. I need this morning. Stir my heart to do the right thing at the right time with the right people. Father, you know who's praying right now, Lord, and I just believe. If you need to come forward, that's a testament of your prayer. That's good. But you don't have to come forward. You can make your peace at your seat. You can make your peace right there. But Holy Spirit, as you move through this house, there's fresh desires to serve, to love. Love lifts. It heals. Father, who this morning needs to come back to the place of faith to walk out of this place forgiven? Father, thank you. We're not in a hurry, church. This is church. There's nowhere to be but right in the present moment of a move of God. Father, thank you. Some of my greatest decisions for Jesus Christ is not at the front of an altar. Some of my greatest decisions to take a step of faith is when I was driving home. And I had to deal with what I heard. And I had to grip the seat sometimes and say, God, what am I going to do with this? Most of us as Christians, we live like this. What's next for me? Let's go palms down. What am I going to give away? What are you going to give away this morning? Most of us have accumulated all the stuff we've ever needed in our life. We don't need another shirt. What are you going to give away? Give it away and let it be a resource to bring people into the kingdom of God. Father, thank you for this time. Our faith is renewed and our faith is restored. Amen.